Dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day from our God who creates us, from Jesus who saves us, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. Our story today, our second reading, comes from the book of Genesis. It's a crucial moment near the conclusion of the story of Joseph. We'll get to that story in just a minute. This past Wednesday night, John and I video chatted with our dear friend Jamie, who lives in Bozeman, Montana. Jamie told us about his latest mountain escapades, like beautiful hikes and a funny encounter with a bear. While hearing his stories, I felt more than a twinge of sadness and jealousy, because for us, among our many losses of 2020, was a trip to Montana to visit Christicon Lutheran Camp and to see Jamie and other friends in Bozeman, and especially to introduce our baby Anya to the mountains. I'm fresh off of 2 weeks at our family cabin in Michigan, so on the one hand, I'm tempted to say I should not complain about my silly little grief over not getting a mountain fix. But on the other hand, it seems 2020 is teaching us the importance of acknowledging any losses, however big or small they seem. And our collective losses are many, so many that we can't count them, and yet it is still important to name them. I have lost a trip to Montana. I have lost the chance to introduce my newborn daughter not only to the mountains, but also to most of our family and closest friends, and to you, our community of faith. I have experienced the loneliness of new parenthood without the company of friends and family to share the load and the tears and the joy. Your losses are surely different from mine, unless you happen to also be a new parent this year. And yet I'm sure your losses are equally painful. Perhaps you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost adventures or experiences or milestones that were years in the making. Maybe you've lost the very body of a loved one to COVID. You've certainly lost time with people you hold most dear. You have certainly lost at least some sense of security and safety, as we all have. We have all lost the chance to concretely plan for the future, even if the degree and the shape of that loss of planning may be unique for each of us. In our video chat this week, our friend Jamie lightheartedly alluded to our next visit to the mountains, and my heart sunk a little bit as I wondered when a visit will even be possible. Our schools are making plans for an entirely uncertain fall while teachers, students, parents, and administrators hang in waiting. Spirit of Joy leaders are similarly working on plans for worship and faith formation programming and what that looks like. And we're all discovering it is next to impossible to plan for a future that seems to change by the minute. The loss of planning for the future is a paralyzing thing. It makes it nearly impossible to break free from the weight of the past few months and the ongoing heaviness of the present moment. Virtually all we have known recently is loss and changing of plans, and so it seems almost naive to make specific plans for a brighter future. The loss of planning invites questions that don't have answers in the short term or maybe ever. Questions like, what does next year look like? Or even next week or tomorrow? Questions like, how do we live in this moment when we don't know what the future holds? And so now we'll shift to our story from Genesis, which I am sorry to say doesn't answer all of these questions. And yet I think you'll hear that it does profoundly speak to who God is in the midst of these questions. We're in Genesis chapter 45, and it's the climax of the Joseph story, as I said. Earlier in Genesis, we have met Joseph, the second youngest of the 12 sons of Jacob, previously called Israel. His name changed from Israel to Jacob. Joseph is his father's favorite, if not a fan favorite, because he's rather entitled and annoying, if you ask me. One day, Joseph has the gall to tell his brothers about a dream he had, a dream in which his brothers all bowed down to him. This is all recorded in Genesis chapter 37. As the text says, after Joseph tells his brothers about his dream, quote, "They hated him even more because of his dreams and his words," end quote. And then Joseph tells them about another dream in which the sun, the moon, and 11 stars all bow down to him. Not a wise move, Joseph. Well, soon after the ill-fated dream reports, Joseph's brothers fake Joseph's death to their father, and then they sell him into slavery in Egypt. And through a series of events recounted in the next several chapters of Genesis, Joseph becomes the right-hand man of Pharaoh in Egypt, and then Joseph's brothers return to Egypt, and indeed they end up bowing down before Joseph. So in a strange way, Joseph's earlier dream does come true. The story is a familiar one to many of us, though maybe not to all. I've heard it for many years, especially thanks to Andrew Lloyd Webber and Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's a story of reconciliation and forgiveness. It's a story of power reversal and redemption, which are all aspects of this story I think I was quite well aware of before. And yet, as I read this story this time around in 2020, I was particularly struck by the context. It all takes place during a famine, and right smack dab in the middle of a famine. The story is not a happy ending. It's a story of a promise in the middle of paralyzing uncertainty. And so perhaps it's also a story for us in the middle of our own paralyzing uncertainty. The story, specifically this part of the story in Genesis 45, picks up right as Joseph is about to reveal his identity to his brothers years after they sold him into slavery. And so now hear this reading from Genesis chapter 45. "Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, 'Send everyone away from me.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come closer to me.' And they came closer. He said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, "Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, as we just heard, the story takes place 2 years into the famine with 5 years yet to go in the famine. And it's then when Joseph relays a promise from God, a promise of provision for the future, for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It is a promise in the middle of a famine, 2 years in and 5 years to go. So surely God now also offers a promise in the middle of a pandemic, 5 months in and who knows how many months to go. Promise of plans for a future of provision and abundance, a future that's hard to imagine 5 months into a pandemic and who knows how many months to go. So our story today from Genesis may not answer all of our burning questions about the future. It certainly does not tell us how to safely gather again for worship or open schools. It does not tell us when we can start booking our next vacations or how to plan the next graduation or wedding or birthday party. It does not guarantee a day free of anxiety and fear. But our story does show us one key aspect of who our God is. In the story, we glimpse a God who insists on making promises even in the middle of famines and pandemics. A God who does not wait for the happy ending to offer nourishment and blessing. A God who shows up in the bleakest of times, like 2 years into a famine and 5 months into a pandemic, and ultimately on a fateful Friday on a cross. We see in this story a God who is faithful to God's promises, even as promises and plans take different shape, like now Holy Communion in your home or on our parking lot, or in individual servings on our garden lawn, like Holy Baptism in the middle of our prayer gardens, which is where our beloved Anya was baptized 2.5 months later than originally planned, and yet the promise was ever true for her. It is faith in this God that continues to expand our house of prayer for all people, even 5 months into this pandemic. And faith in this God, it is that faith in this God that continues to gather us in worship in ever-evolving ways until we can gather in our expanded house of prayer. It is faith in this God that gives courage to anxious teachers and parents and students at the start of this school year. And I should note, as Martin Luther reminds us in the Catechism, that this faith in this God comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so may the Holy Spirit grant you this faith today, 5 months into the pandemic with who knows how many months to go. Faith in the God who insists on nourishment and provision, even and especially in the bleakest of times. May this faith be yours today. Amen.